Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And today I want to talk about a passage from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12. I think it's a passage that speaks to the situation that we're living through right now in the church. These are really challenging times. The church is facing crisis, and really, in some way, an unprecedented crisis, at least in my lifetime and the lifetimes of pretty much all of us who may be listening to this program. We're seeing things happening, a kind of shaking, a struggle, a spiritual battle, purification. I've shared thoughts over the last couple of years off and on about something I felt like the Lord said to me back in the summer of 2016. I had an experience while I was in Uganda as a part of a team leading a priest's retreat at the major seminary in Kampala with about 350 to 400 priests and bishops from five East African countries. And one of the days, I think it was maybe the fourth day, Thursday, if I remember correctly, during Mass, we all had Mass together each day, I came back after communion to my seat, and I was sitting there just very peacefully in that moment, and just felt the presence of the Lord, the gentle presence of the Lord. And I felt a prompting in my heart, and the Lord saying, get out your journal. I always take my prayer journal with me and got out my pen. And I was kind of waiting on the Lord. And I thought the Lord was going to say something like, you know, son, I love you, or something encouraging like that. But as I took up my pen, I was just sitting there. And suddenly I kind of felt the holy presence of God. I mean, it was Holy Communion, so that makes sense, right? But I felt the weight of the Lord, you know, something of like the fear of the Lord. Maybe that's a good description. The fear of the Lord began to come on me, come on my heart. And, you know, we don't use that phrase very often, even though it's an important part of who we are in the Lord when we're confirmed and baptized into Christ, that we have the gift of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I think that phrase, fear of the Lord, hasn't been understood very well in our time, and it's not spoken of very much, because people say, well, just fear of God is a bad thing because any kind of fear is psychologically unhealthy, and that's not what the fear of the Lord is talking about. The fear of the Lord is a profound gift of the Holy Spirit that aligns us properly with God and helps us see and just kind of feel internally, to intuit the awesomeness of God, the profound holiness of God, the amazing power of God, and our creatureliness before Him, before the great and holy one of God. The Bible says all kinds of things about the fear of the Lord. It's pure. It gives us wisdom. And it's interesting, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning because it rightly aligns us with the source of wisdom, which is God. And the fear of the Lord, the experience is, oh, God, it's not me as the center of reality. It's beginning to see and get a taste of God is the center of all things, and I'm not. He's awesome, and I'm not. But it's not a demeaning thing. It doesn't demean you. It doesn't cause you to be scared or like I have to run away from God. But it's more like a gift to be able to see and peacefully see. Kind of, it can shake you. So in the moment what was happening to me was I felt like the Lord, in that experience of His awesomeness and holiness, I was surprised because then I began to write what I feel like the Lord was speaking into my heart. I didn't hear any voices or anything like that. I just having this prompting and sense of His voice interiorly. And he said to me that I'm about to see that the Lord is coming to discipline His church. He's coming to purify His church. And in particular, that the church was trapped, that parts of the church, here's a better way to put it, dimensions and parts of the church were trapped in spiritual bondage. As I mentioned periodically over the last couple of years, I've touched on this, that the reality of a spiritual stronghold came to my mind. And the spiritual stronghold is what it's like to, you think of a fortress, a walled-in fortress, right? And the wall goes up, I think I mentioned this last week even, the wall goes up to keep out what needs to be kept out, right? And the devil can create strongholds in us if we give him permission to, if we give up our freedom by saying yes to sin, by walking in habit patterns of sin, by refusing to do God's will, by exposing ourselves to all kinds of things that are spiritually harmful. When we give over our freedom to the enemy, we give permission from him to come and lay hold of us at a deep level. Even if we stay in serious sin or commit mortal sin, we give up the protection we have. And you know, Jesus said, the devil has no hold on me. And when we say yes to the temptations of the enemy, we give him a hold on us. And if we stay in habit patterns of sin and we don't repent, and we cling to habit patterns of sin, especially serious sin, we become enslaved to it. And we become enslaved to the powers of darkness. It's not that people are necessarily choosing the powers of darkness. They're choosing what they perceive as a good or a pleasure or whatever. And it enslaves them. And they become addicted to it. It has a hold of them. And before you know it, you know, sin makes us stupid. Sin darkens our mind. We become enslaved to it. And we can even become enslaved at such a level that we become depraved in our own mind, depravity. You know, we become defiled. And as the Bible says, our senseless minds can become darkened. And we can't see things in the right way any longer as a result of it. And so because of the decisions we've made without intending it, maybe we've given ourselves over to a kind of slavery. Now the enemy can begin to drag us in this direction and drag us in that direction and to feed lies into us. And we give up certain levels of freedom that are ours, that were given to us by the Lord in our baptism and in our confirmation. So here I'm sitting in this situation. I'm getting a picture that there's just parts of the church that are in bondage. And when you're in bondage, you can't get out. Like, I've known this in my own life. There's a time in my life where I struggled with sexual sin and sexual control many years ago. And I couldn't sort of break the hold. Why? Because I had a certain attachment to it. And I had stuff going on in me, weakness, fear, insecurity, the rest of it, where I would look for consolation in sin. I mean, it was foolish, but I was kind of trapped into it. And by God's grace, through encouragement of others, through confession, through sacraments, through reading the Word of God, from being around the right kind of people, getting good counsel, getting good help, the Lord just brought me through it and freed me from it. But there was in me a bondage. And that bondage can be a kind of stronghold. The enemy's got a hold of you. And then we become, what should I say, we are unable to access the truth that comes to us because we're afraid of the light. So we don't come into the light very much. So anyway, so in the moment, while I was writing in my journal, I felt like the Lord said that there's dimensions of the church that where there's deep strongholds of sin that has whole groups of people kind of trapped in lies and deception and habit patterns that are very destructive, and that he was coming to break the chains because we can't break them ourselves. And even our leaders were involved. Some of our leaders were trapped in it. And then I felt like, I wrote this down, he said, you're going to see chaos and confusion and great warfare, but don't be afraid because I've come to break the chains. And the enemy doesn't let it go very easily. Where he's been given permission to take over a piece of land, he's not going to give it up very easily. But he has to when the Lord comes. And so sometimes what has to happen is a stronghold is like a deep wound that's festering under the surface that you just like put a band-aid over. And if I mentioned this like a couple of weeks ago, I may have, I'm not sure, but I think I have. I've been mentioning this to people so often that I feel compelled to kind of just keep repeating it to help strengthen and encourage everyone who's listening. And the Lord is saying, I need to surgically go down deep to the root of that wound and cut it out. And cut it out. And friends, That's an exercise of what the letter, the 12th chapter of Romans, calls the discipline of the Lord. The Lord is like a father, the analogy is in the passage. He disciplines those whom he loves. And he says, why? And essentially what he says is that he comes to discipline so that we can be more like him. He wants purification to happen in the discipline. He wants to make us holy. And when we've strayed so much and we've gotten so trapped in sin, we can't get out. And we say things and we do things that make it more problematic for us, take us deeper into slavery, but we bring other people with us because we're not free. And we really need the Lord to come. And I think as difficult as these times are, friends, and what's at the heart of this, and I think what's really important for you to see, is that the God who loves us, who is our Father, is coming to set captives free. He's coming to set those free who are willing to not take lightly, the author of Hebrews says, the discipline of the Lord. He says this, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines him who he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. And he explains very clearly that what the Lord is after is to produce in us holiness. In verse 10, he says, for they disciplined us that as parents for a short time, he makes the analogy that our fathers disciplined us when we were children. For they disciplined us for a short time at their pleasure, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share his holiness. Friends, what leads us into sin and enslavement is our concupiscence, our fallen nature, and the devil who tempts us and seduces us. And we think something good is there. In our weakness, we seek it. And there's something in us that says no to us in it, and there's something in us that says yes to it. And we ultimately say yes, and then we get trapped. As we get trapped deeper and deeper, what happens? We lose a hunger for God. We lose a thirst for God. It alienates us from God, and shame and lust and anger. These things start to grow in us because we're feeding them. And we get further and further away from our fundamental purpose and our fulfillment, which is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and to be holy and to be radically given over to the Father and to love him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so what the writer of Hebrews is making clear here, the discipline of the Lord, even though it's not pleasurable, it hurts, its purpose is that we would share in his holiness, that we would be filled with radical love for God, and that we would seek God first above all things. That's what we're made for, friends. That's the only place we'll find happiness. And he loves us so much, he won't leave us in the slop. He won't leave us in the bondage. But he comes to discipline us, and he's calling us to repentance, to radically turn toward him with our entire heart, soul, mind, and strength so we can be free and we can become everything we were meant to be. God bless you, friends. Let's say yes to him.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.